I will be reading this morning from Exodus chapter 8. The title of this is One More Night with the Frogs. Exodus chapter 8, 1 through 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, into thy bedchamber, upon thy bed, into thy house, into the house of thy servants, and upon the people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. The frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord and that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, from thy houses, from thy servants, and from thy people, and they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And he gathered them together upon the heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord said. Now, I don't know what you think about this, but we try to do some sharing on the idea of having frogs in your life. You notice the reading gives us ideas that they were everywhere. Now, I don't know where my knowledge comes from, and it seems to me that somewhere I gathered information that these frogs were not the kind of frogs that we see today. They're not the same. And I can't prove my theory because this is something I did years ago, and I had just kind of left it lay and never did it again. And some reason or other, it just came back, and I'm like, I'm going to do this again. So I went back to see if I was correct in the idea that frogs were not the same, and I can't prove my theory, but I'm going to tell you what I think. It seems to me that these frogs were not frogs like we have today. They weren't hoppers. They didn't hop around like they crawled, and there's another word for amphibium. Amphibium, I think that's the word I want. It's not. I'm not saying it right, but they were. I don't know what they looked like. Amphibious. I don't know if that's right, but it doesn't matter. We know that they were part of the plague. Now keep in mind, the plague was caused by government control. And so that the government was in charge of doing things and caused the Egyptians or the Israelites to become under the power of slavery and so on and so forth. And so another thing, the Egyptians were thinking that frogs were sacred. Now, that makes it a little dangerous. People are kind of like in some lands today that animals are sacred. And that was their understanding that these frogs were sacred and helped cause fertility. Now, if you put that together, I don't know how that works. But that's what history tells us, and that's what commentators are saying. And so that was part of their... But they were considered an ancient and harmless reptile, is what the commentators say. But it was something that God used to bring to them to catch their attention. And also the magicians. If you'll notice, as you go through this, the magicians could cause the frogs to come, which I just hit me when I was thinking about as reading this. All right, so Moses and Aaron were called to go and bargain with Pharaoh. Now there were many pharaohs, and I don't know which one this was, and I'm not even sure they even tell us that. But the magicians could duplicate what what God had told Moses and Aaron to do. So it's double the amount that came because double the request. Now, I don't think God paid any attention to the magicians, but obviously there was something going on there that caused that multiplication of frogs to come on the land. Okay, so, but you know what? When the time came to get rid of the frogs, the magicians couldn't do it. According to what I can figure out, magicians did not have the ability to make the frogs go away. But it was something that God was doing, of course. So the magicians couldn't handle it. They couldn't take part in that. It was also considered a type of scourging that came upon the people that was because actually these were not... A frog is about as helpless, if you think of a frog today, it's about as helpless as it gets. It's just not much to it. But they were everywhere. So if you think about this, now a frog that, you know, it's hard to think about it because a frog as we know it today is one that hops around. Or he croaks, sits in the water, makes noise, so on, that kind of stuff. And they're usually very complacent. They don't bother you. They're not in your way. They don't do anything wrong. They're just there. And we eat them. Some people do. Eat frog legs. They say they're great. I tried some here a while back. I wasn't so impressed by it, but it's okay. They have it. They are a delicacy, I understand. If you want to spend your money buying them, they are a delicacy. Like rattlesnakes are delicacies. Help yourself. You know, I'm not into that stuff, but that's how I say. So you had the poor, weak frog, which made the lives of the Egyptians a burden to them, because it doesn't matter. They woke up one morning. I just try to picture this: waking up one morning and there's these crawling creatures everywhere. Now you think about some of the things we have today, they can get pretty nasty. It can get pretty in your way. Things, little weak things can get in the way. They can bother you. Frogs were pretty bad at this time. They, of course, imagine yourself, you're walking on these things. Everywhere you step, they are, according to that, according to history, according to what they're saying. So they actually walked on their, they walked on them. They crawled over their naked feet. I don't know. That's what they're saying. They were in their bedchamber. Now, I can imagine struggling with trying to sleep with a frog. Some years ago, we were in a meeting in down toward Charleston, Somerville, between that area somewhere as a chaplain's convention I was at. And they took us to some kind of a retreat place that there was an old house where we were at. And they had bedrooms in it, and of course we spent several days there, and it was early, it was a long time ago, and so I wasn't used to certain critters that are around, them little, I've got some pretty big ones in my shop. I guess they're called salamanders, is that what they are? Lizards, some people call them lizards, and I've got two of them. They hide in my building and scare people half to death when they come out. They're about that big, and they're about big around, and they eat my pets, insects. I let them live. Anyhow, I was it was cold, when no heat in this house, and it was pretty cold, and I was in this bedroom by myself, and I woke up the next morning with something in the bed that I didn't invite, and it was a lizard, and I didn't care for that thing at all. I do not care to sleep with a lizard, or salamander, or whatever you call it, but he, she, whatever it was, we had some quick arrangements to get things done, get away from it. So in the bedchamber, they had problems with these things in their beds, and in their ovens, kneading troughs, had trouble keeping them out of their food. Can you imagine all this horrible, horrible plague? I don't know. I read also, now when it does not tell us how long this was. Now, I read that history would say that the whole limit or the whole gamut of plagues was like 7 or 8 months. All right? You read the whole, when you do the whole history of plagues, it probably felt like 7 years to them because it was difficult. Life was complicated. And I also, their ovens weren't like your ladies. You ladies have nice ovens compared to theirs. Their ovens were not like they are today. Yeah, I understand it was a hole in the ground but in the bank or something where they lined it and they fixed it up and they did their baking in there and these, you know, disgusting. Finally, they open it up, they put their stuff in there, and when they go to get their food, it's full of frogs. So it's kind of a complicated situation to getting this. Now all of this is happening, and Pharaoh was not excused from this as well. I'm sure they were in the palace. You know, someplace it says, talks about the spider, the ants, these things can get in the king's quarters. You can't keep the spider out. I don't care what you try, how hard you try, you cannot keep a spider away from your house, inside your house. He's going to show up. He's going to be there. How clean you are, them little creatures will come around and they'll cause you problems. Same thing with these frogs. They were in the house. They were in the king's house. They were in the palace. So naturally, he's like, I've had enough of this. We'll have to do something. So he calls for Moses and Aaron, and he says, I want rid of this stuff. Now, the neat thing about it is Moses says, glory to God. He gets really excited about it. And it's like, okay, so now when? Why did he have to ask him, now when do you want to do this? Interesting. You think he'd be done with it. Let's do it now. When would you like for this to end? And he says, well, tomorrow will be okay. I can't imagine how that works, but that's what it says. So in a sense, Pharaoh repents. but in a sense he doesn't. Several things that are involved in this is his pride gets in the way of his repenting from holding Israel to their slavery. Second thing is his position. He's a very powerful man. And the power that is really in charge is the power of the Jehovah. Now, putting off for tomorrow what could be done today would indicate that I have the ability to decide. Now, what are some things that could be frogs perhaps in my life or in yours? I think of several things that could be considered a frog, a crawler, an irritator, something that is bugging me, that bugs me, something that is bothers me, causes me attitudes. I suppose that if we would have been there, we would have picked up negative attitudes from a lot of people, complaining, complainers. There are those who continuously complain about things where we find ourselves where nothing is correct, nothing is right. So we would, I would say frog living would be considered condemned living. We don't want to live like that. We want ourselves to be a person of better, positive, one that could smile at negative, perhaps. God uses small things in large ways. I thought of some of the things we're dealing with around here. A fire ant is not very big. But you get enough of them on you, you'll think it's pretty big. Their bites really hurt. And you get half a dozen of them, it really hurts. You know what I found helps? You're going to laugh at me, I know you are. Don't you dare laugh. My wife laughs enough. Olive oil helps get rid of that bite. Does a lot of things. Jesus recommended it. So I treasure the use of it. So frog living could be condemned living, where God uses small things and to do big way in a big way. Armadillo is another enemy that we just encountered. Anybody here want to come around at 3 o'clock in the morning and shoot my armadillos, come on right ahead. I'll be glad for you to do that. But these are things that are irritations. I've covered up several dens in my yard. I tried something new. I don't know if it's going to work. I put turpentine in his den. I will see if he likes that. Well, anyhow, I don't know if he will or not. Now, I was going to take us to another realm of this, but all I'm going to do is give you information and let you take it from there. In Psalms, I wasn't done yet. Addictions can be a frog. I had my time, and I still do some work with people who are plagued with addictive things. And it typically works like that. It typically is, I want to quit. I don't want to do this again. But I'll quit tomorrow. Invariably, we do that. But tomorrow comes, I'll do it one more time. Then I'll quit. Now, I'm not going to ask for any hand raisings here, and I'm not going to ask for anybody to where you are in this. I don't know, and don't matter. I don't have any reason for saying that because I can look out at you, and I don't necessarily have to. Oh, he, she, they, you know, I don't know all that. It doesn't matter. But see, God knows. He knows all that stuff. He knows where I'm at. He knows where you are, so it doesn't matter. But what does matter is, can I actually? You know, it's all in the matter of, goes back to the idea that where Pharaoh said, tomorrow we'll do this. Well, he should have said, we could have said and should have said, today, let's do it now. So it's kind of like, and that's what I always counsel people when I counsel with addictive situations. And there are, some people are easily addicted, some people are not, some people can stop what they're doing and just stop. Others struggle with their problems, and it can be a real situation. Depends on what it is, of course, if that matters. But it can still be a problem. Enough of that. Now you may want to write this down. There's a psalm. Psalm 78, verse 44 through 53, that again brings out the idea of these plagues, talks about the frogs, talks about all these different things, and the lice, flies. Think about, we have some of these things around us today. I don't call them plagues, and I don't think it's a curse. It is kind of from sin. Of course it is. Now, the one I'd like for you to, if you just take a look at this sometime, and that is Revelation 16, is a chapter that you might want to look at, and I don't have time to go into this, but there's, it's talking about the three powers, and I'm not so sure that we are not faced with some of these today. Now, it depends on whether you're premillennial or millennial. If you're premillennial, you're going to say it's coming. It's on the way. If you're all millennial, you're going to say, oh, we've already done all that. So, you know, I'm going to give room for both. It doesn't matter. I just know this. Jesus is coming. I do know that. That's a fact. You can't deny all that. I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to come, and I know he's coming. But how he's going to come, we can argue and fuss all we want to and never get to the end of that. That'll never work out. I do know that over 50 years ago, there were those, well, it wouldn't be 50 now, but it was close. The premillennial teaching was extremely strong, and we were made to know and think that some of the things that were going to happen never did happen. I've not seen them. I'm not saying they won't. But I've not seen them happen. But as I looked at the chapter in Revelation, and there's other chapters that relate as well, and you may want to take a look at that. You have three powers. You have the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. And those three things, I'm not so sure that we're not looking at some of that in today's world. That might help you. That might whet your interest a little bit to read it and to take some study. Look at that. It's a sermon in itself, and I'm not going to take the time to do that, but I found it pretty interesting that in the things that we are dealing with today could be very well mentioned there. And again, it depends on what millennial side you follow and what you're on. And some of you are looking at me like, duh, I understand. You don't hear much of that nowadays. You know, I went through an era when there was that preaching was that's what preaching was. And warnings. And we're not doing a lot of that today. It seems like we're more into relational we're working on relations rather than realizing that there's an end somewhere. Jesus did say he's coming. He has been here for some, and I know he's coming for me sooner or later. I know that, and he's going to come for you. So all of that, you can't deny that. We know that's a fact, but some of the things that we're faced with in our government and our controlling and powers that are and that are going to be, you know, that's up for discussion. So let us... Do you have a song?
I'm 78.
I'm sure you had a nice time finding a song for the frogs.
Yeah.
Name the number again.
578.
578. Let's stand and pray. God, I'm very grateful to you this morning for your presence. I'm glad for history, for the Bible, for the teaching that you give us and that you lead us by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and has been testified how you teach us, how you speak to us, you comfort us, so many good things. And most of all, this morning, we want to recognize Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Son of God, that you are the Christ, the Savior. We are glad for that and glad that you will come and that you will receive us. You have invited us, and we have chosen by choice and power to accept that invitation to be part of your kingdom and to walk and to worship and to be together. So there are many things for us to learn. Even as we get older, we still learn. Thank you for your teaching power in our lives and for the fellowship we share and enjoy as a church. Please be with our families that are not here. They're visiting other family members. Please be with them and bless them as well. Dismiss us to your care and blessing now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We will worship Him in righteousness.